a saying that perhaps La Liga is boring and uncompetitive, to borrow the line of another Spanish podcast, and perhaps we saw one of those things on this weekend, but certainly not the other, as Barcelona romped to a 5-0 victory away at Real Betis, and Real Madrid just put the 7 past Deportivo La Coruña. Welcome to Marca's Eye on La Liga podcast. I am your host, Mark May, as always, and joining me this week is Jason Pettigrove, who has no doubt been enjoying the festivities over the weekend.
Yeah, I have indeed, as always. I've also had a week off, so I've relaxed, watched a bit of football, and raring to go again.
You've watched football on your week off? That is a bit of a busman's holiday, isn't it?
Well, you know, we love football, so let's, you know, we can't get enough of it, can we?
Absolutely. I'd take a week off just to watch some football, perhaps around the World Cup when that comes in, if I would be allowed to do such a thing. So we'll crack on then, let's talk about the first game on our agenda today. It is the Real Madrid 7-1 victory over Deportivo La Coruña from Sunday afternoon. Real Madrid were relegated to the second part of the show last time out, and I brought them back in because it was an interesting game on the weekend. It was a kind of a moment where Real Madrid, if they were to drop points, it would have been a case of, oh no, here we go again. But for the first time this season, first time in a long time for my memory, Real Madrid really dismantled an opponent. And I want to go through the team with you in a sense, Jason, because Cristiano Ronaldo is the first player I want to talk about. Everyone remembers that scene for him getting the cut as he scored his second goal and getting a bit of a stud to the face and checking himself out in the mirror as he walked off the pitch to see exactly the damage that had been done. And needless to say, I haven't seen any photos of him on Instagram since, so I think he might be hiding away a bit while he's got a tiny little cut next to his eyebrow. But his importance to the team this weekend was a bit of a curious one, wasn't it? He scored 2 goals, but they're late on. And I want to ask you if Real Madrid's Ronaldo dependence is actually kind of on the wane a little bit. And this weekend, we saw that actually they didn't necessarily need him to do particularly well.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a few stories that we're going to be pumping out on Marca in English later on today. And they're sort of they edge towards Gareth Bale. And I think, you know, what we saw on Sunday was that, if anything, they're Bale dependent at the moment. I mean, you know, since he's come back from his injury, you know, thankfully for Real Madrid, he looks back to his best. He's flying, you know, he's scoring goals, setting up goals. You know, Ronaldo, I think up to this point, really, although he hasn't been on the score sheet much, you can't have a go at him for not being in position and not getting the chances. I think, you know, it's a sign of any striker that's going through perhaps a crisis of confidence when they're snatching at chances. But the fact is, I think he's had sort of, you know, 20 chances to every goal he scored this season. So he's getting in the right positions. He's just not banging in the goals. I mean, even yesterday, the 2 goals he scored, they were pretty much laid on the plate for him. Yes, he was brave for the second one, but, you know, a player of his quality shouldn't be missing those sort of chances anyway. So getting back to the original point, I think, you know, we've seen for, you know, a while now that Real Madrid aren't Ronaldo dependent. And I don't think he's helping his cause, you know, when he's putting stuff out in the media to say that, you know, he's not happy again, he wants to leave. Maybe it's about time Real Madrid called his bluff, and perhaps that then is the kicker for him to sort of really knuckle down and think, oh my God, you know, if they are actually going to get rid of me this time, you know, I need to address it.
Yeah, we did run a story just before the game on Sunday from Cristiano Ronaldo's best friend, as we put it, saying that he's not motivated by contracts or money. And I think that was a very timely thing that, you know, just a nudge out and say, go on, go fight my corner, go and say that I'm not driven by money and these sort of things. And he got the 2 goals on Sunday, so it'll be interesting to see how he kicks on. Gareth Bale is another very interesting player to bring up, because I think he has a lot of parallels with Nacho Fernandez for me. Both of them scored 2 goals on the weekend. They've both got quite quiet personalities, but they've made a big impact at key moments for this Real Madrid team. And I think that's exactly what Real Madrid need at the moment. It's not a time for ego. Obviously, Sergio Ramos is going to come back into the team at Valencia next weekend when he'll be fit again. But I want to know what you think about this sort of what Real Madrid do need at the moment. Is it a time for everyone just sort of simmering down, not being a time for egos, and it really just being a time for getting your head down like players like Nacho and Bale do, and getting the hard graft in, and then, you know, reaping the rewards of that later on?
I think your latter point sort of nail on the head, really. I mean, yes, there's always going to be egos in the very best teams. You know, that's part of the reason players like Ronaldo thrive, is because they have such big egos. But the position they're in at the moment, they do just need to knuckle down. They need to grind out a few wins. yesterday, you know, 7-1 Deportivo, in my opinion, have always been quite an accommodating opponent for Real Madrid, let's be honest. But, you know, it's still a 7-1 win. That sends out a message. And I think, you know, maybe it can be a turning point for them. I think most people are in agreement that the league's gone. But then having said that, we've mentioned on this podcast before, you know, a couple of seasons ago, I think Barcelona were 12 or 11 points ahead. And Real, at the very sort of late stage of the season, came back to within a point. In our opinion, you know, had the season been a week or two longer, they probably would have gone on to pit Barcelona. I think, you know, 19 points or 16 points if they win their game in hand, that's too much. You know, that means Barcelona have got to have, you know, the worst run of form in the last few seasons for Real to even catch up and level with them. So I think perhaps now it's just a time for, as you say, getting your heads down, getting back to what they do best, you know, playing teams off the park, move the ball around, not trying anything that they wouldn't. You know, normally, you know, the players like Cruz, Casemiro, Modric, fantastic players. And actually, just while we're talking about the midfield, it's interesting that another big win while Isco wasn't in the side. I think that's the third big win this season. And in all three wins, Isco hasn't been there. But, you know, they've got a big squad. They've got players like Nacho coming in, as you say, to deputise Ramos and deputise him very well. So, you know, let's see. There's, you know, half a season to go. They can restore a bit of pride. That probably won't be enough for a lot of Real Madrid fans, but they are where they are. And, you know, the best thing they can do now is just work.
Well, I think a lot of the Real Madrid fans will still be harbouring decent hopes of a Champions League run, and that Paris Saint-Germain fixture is slowly drawing into view. We're not going to be getting there for a few weeks just yet, but perhaps that's why this is a very timely win for Real Madrid, because do you think there's enough time for some real momentum to be generated off the back of this performance? Or do you still think that perhaps an upset in the week against Leganes or dropped points at the Mestalla next weekend, do you think that would take away this any kind of momentum that they've got from this win?
Yeah, I think Leganes really is done and dusted. I'd be very surprised if Real were to go on and lose that tie. I think that the big game is at Mestalla. Valencia will have three key players missing because of suspensions from their game this weekend. So that sort of potentially hands the initiative to Real. And, you know, let's make no bones about it. That is one hell of a tough game for both sides. Whoever comes out of that winning, you know, that gives them, you know, a bit of momentum to push on. I think, you know, even if it's a scrappy 1-0, Real will take that at this point. And what it does do, you know, a couple of good wins, it then puts them, you know, the confidence is up. The momentum's back, and PSG, I think, is only about 3 weeks away. You know, they had a last-minute loss yesterday. You know, who knows? I most people, if you ask them and they were honest, would say that ties PSG's to lose. But we all know football is all about confidence, and if Real come into that game with their tails up, then there's no reason with the players that they've got, there's no reason why they can't win that tie over two legs.
And Real Madrid's tails will certainly be up if they can take a win at the Mestalla next week. Forgetting all the potential context and if there's a refereeing decision, it obviously changes the view of the game. But from sitting here right now, if I was to tell you that Valencia or Real Madrid was to end a draw, who do you think would be happier out of those two teams?
Oof, that's a tough one. I'd say probably, I don't know. I mean, you know, Valencia are now 14 behind Barcelona, so I'm not sure they're going to be happy. I don't know, maybe Los Che, because it keeps them in the hunt for European places rather than allowing sort of Real to sort of begin to reel them in. But also, you know, on the flip side of that, Real being unbeaten, one of their toughest fixtures, you know, they'll be happy with that as well, I think.
Yeah, well, I do think Real Madrid would be happier out of that game, purely because it stops Valencia from getting too far away, and Valencia's desire for the rest of the season, I imagine, will be holding on to the top three space. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that one goes. Obviously, next week's Eye on La Liga will be a bigger review of that game on the Saturday afternoon at 4:15 Spanish time. One last quick word before we talk about Barcelona. Then you mentioned that Leganes game in midweek being done and dusted. It's going to be the B team. It's almost certainly going to be the B team that Zinedine Zidane puts out at the Bernabeu. You don't see any way of Leganes perhaps nicking a goal. Real Madrid failed to beat both Fuenlabrada and Numancia at the Bernabeu. And Wednesday night's game, 9:30 kickoff Spanish time, is this one that you see being a bit of a formality?
In my opinion, yes, because of what's riding on it. And I'm not sure, actually, that Zidane will play the sort of what we would consider his B team in its entirety. It's still a game they've got to win. Yes, there may well be rotation. I'm just not sure to what extent. And if Leganés were to sneak an opening goal, obviously you can have the crowd on your back straight away. And then that again, that's the sort of thing that's, you know, that for Real Madrid, they've said it before. Ramos, Ronaldo and Florentino Perez have said it. You know, they want the whistling and the booing to stop, because it sends the wrong message to the players. You know, I think they booed or whistled Benzema when he came on the pitch as a sub. So I don't see it as being a problem, but I suspect this is football. Anything can happen. If Leganés were to get an early goal, then it puts the cat amongst the pigeons, and it means, well, I've got to drive on again and show that the 7-1 was no fluke. As far as most people are concerned now, that's sort of lifted the mist that was enveloping the Bernabeu. So, you know, a good result in midweek and then again at the weekend, and they can move forward.
Yeah, Leganés picking up a very, very late two-goal comeback away to Alaves on the weekend to steal a point there. So they'll be in fine spirit. Real Madrid will be in fine spirit. It'll be a good game, and keep an eye on Market English for all of the action and reaction for Real Madrid versus Leganés. We're going to take a very short break now and talk Barcelona 5, Betis 0. So, Jason, we said there'd be goals for Betis-Barcelona. It seemed like the absolute ideal Sunday night Premier kickoff at the Estadio Benito Villamarín. And, well, there were goals. They were just all for Barcelona. This was an awesome attacking display, wasn't it?
It was in the second half. I mean, at half-time, you know, 0-0. And I think we've had at least two goals in this fixture, in every fixture since about 1996. So, you know, people have been scratching their heads, especially with the Quique Setién side that have, you know, almost let in as many as they've scored. But second half, once Barcelona had got that first goal from Rakitic, the way he exploited the space as Betis pushed up, it was one-way traffic. I don't know that Barcelona were deserving of a 5-0 victory. I think that was a bit harsh on Betis, but I think, you know, once that first goal did go in, Betis had to come out and attack if they wanted to get back in the game. And against a Barcelona that has got Lionel Messi playing as he is, Suarez back in form, and even players like Andre Gomez, you know, putting in a decent shift, it was only going to be one-way traffic. It just, as I say, I think the five goals were a little bit harsh on the hosts in that one.
I think the word I would use to describe Barcelona's second-half performance was professional. They picked off Betis with absolute clinical ease, which made for, well, a very entertaining game for a large respect. Certainly an unexpected scoreline, considering how even we thought this one might have turned out to be. Luis Suarez, I want to ask you about, because we've spoke about Cristiano Ronaldo and how he got two goals on the weekend. Suarez was someone who started the season so poorly to many respects, and yet is he doing anything differently to what he was doing at the start of the season? Is it again a case of confidence and just taking your chances? His first goal at Betis was a fantastic finish, wasn't it?
It was a sign of a man in very good form. I think there's two things as well. I think, yes, it's the confidence issue. You know, once a player doesn't score for a few games, we've seen it with, you know, every single attacker in every team. You go on a bit of a run and then, you know, you get in the positions that you always do and you fluff your lines. Eventually that has to turn. It's turned quicker for Suarez than it has for Ronaldo. I think a lot of it's positionally as well. When they're playing the 4-4-2, so they're a bit narrower up front. You've got both Messi and he are closer together. I think that's having an effect. He's coming in towards the goal quicker than he was when it was a 4-3-3, and he was pushed slightly wider on the left-hand side. He wasn't able to get into those sort of positions just in between the fullback and the centre-back quite as often as he is doing. And he's just really showing, you know, what a great striker he has always been. You know, as you say, you know, the goal last night, both the goals last night for him were very special goals. And I think that is seven games now he's scored in. So he's just on a roll. And when he's playing like that and he's got Messi playing alongside him like that, there really is no stopping them at the moment. And I just want to make the point as well, is a lot of Barcelona's goals now seem to be coming in the second half. It's almost as if, you know, Valverde's got this sort of tactic in his head. It's like, we'll spend the first 45 minutes sort of working out the opposition. We'll see where the spaces are, and then we'll go for it in the second half. Because I think in a number of second halves this season, Barcelona have been absolutely on fire.
You're right. And on Marco English at the moment, we do have an article saying the second half is where Barcelona are strong. 11 of their 12 goals that they scored against Real Madrid, Real Sociedad and Real Betis coming in the second half, which is, I mean, it's a game plan and it seems to be working out for them, no doubt. I think with Betis, they're still very much a team in progress with Setien. Maybe we were a bit preemptive in picking them out at the start of the season as a team that were going to do very well. The defending was very poor, whereas Barcelona's continued to be very strong. Samuel Umtiti came back off the bench for Thomas Vermaelen, who looks like he's picked up a hamstring injury. What have you made on Vermaelen being back in the team then? We can now sort of reflect on his spell in the team and perhaps think about whether he's going to stay at the club in the future. What have you made of him and how he's done?
I think he's shown that he's the Thomas Vermaelen of sort of Arsenal vintage. He's had a run in the team. He hasn't had any injuries up until yesterday, which I think was very unfortunate for him. But he's been excellent. Everyone, when Umtiti got injured, everyone was like, you know, oh my God, you know, what are we going to do now? Vermaelen's gone in there. And I think, you know, everyone's got to hold their hands up and say they were wrong about him. He's been one of the best players in the team over that period. And I think it's unfortunate for him that he's got this injury. Timely, I suppose, because Umtiti is going to come back in the side. But I think now Barcelona have got something that they haven't had in a long time, with Yerry Mina coming in as well. Once Vermaelen is fit again, which we hope won't be sort of too long, they've then got four very, very good centre-backs. So if one or the other first choice were to be injured, there's not really that worry then of who to bring in or whether they're going to put Busquets back there as cover. So I think, you know, from a squad perspective, you know, Barcelona are looking very healthy in that area. And I just hope for Vermaelen's sake that it's not a long-term injury, because I think he's shown that he's worthy of being there. And, you know, let's see what happens when he comes back to full fitness.
Very much still a question mark over his future, short and long-term. So it'll be an interesting one to keep an eye on as Thomas Vermaelen comes back to fitness, hopefully not too long out, as you say. Final question and final part of the show this week, we're going to have a quick chat on Zinedine Zidane's future after an article on Marketing English went up regarding his potential exit in the summer. But finally, before we move on to that, I want to talk about the Atletico Madrid and Valencia threat and just ask you who you think is going to pose the bigger threat to Barcelona, if at all, moving forward. Atletico, again, just a very sort of typical performance of late, not being able to kill off Girona on Saturday and ending up drawing 1-1. Valencia then went to Las Palmas, and Las Palmas arguably played their game of the season to claim a 2-1 victory in that, with Valencia having two men sent off as well. Who do you think is the stronger team at the moment and more likely to either challenge Barcelona or just ultimately finish second?
I think I'd probably plump for Atleti, only because they've sort of been there and done it before in the recent past. So, you know, I know Valencia have been up there in the Champions League spots a couple of seasons ago, but they're still very much a sort of a team in transition, sort of trying to mould themselves into what Marcelino would want them to be. Diego Simeone knows exactly how he wants his Atleti to play. They've only conceded 9 goals this season, the same as Barcelona. I think their issue has been, in some games, is scoring. I think, you know, 29 goals is the lowest out of the top four by, I think, at least 10. Real Madrid have got 39. You know, it's consistency again. We say this on the pod all the time. There always seems to be one, maybe two teams that push ahead at the top, and that sort of third, fourth, fifth, sixth spot, you can pick anyone from sort of five or six teams. It just all depends who can have a consistent run. Valencia may get the result against Real this weekend, which would, you know, keep them nicely in there. I just think Atleti have got the experience. I suppose, you know, they've got the Europa League as well that may knock them out of their stride. Being players like Griezmann, Vitolo, Costa, they've got match winners up front. They've just got to start putting the ball in the back of the net on a more regular basis.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Atletico Madrid get on Tuesday night as they go to Sevilla in the Copa del Rey. Then Wednesday night, Alaves, Valencia and Real Madrid, Leganes. And then on the Thursday night, Barcelona will attempt to come back from a goal down at home to Espanyol. Before we go back into La Liga on the weekend, and Real Madrid, they'll play on the Saturday away to Valencia, with Atletico at home to Las Palmas on the Sunday afternoon. Barcelona then host Alaves on the Sunday evening. So we'll move into the final part of the show now and talk about what exactly is going on with Zinedine Zidane. Jason, this one kind of went under the radar for me in a little bit of respect. Is the headline, belief at Real Madrid that Zidane will be ready to leave his post in June. This is an article that went up in the week on Marketing English, discussing the idea that Zidane is just going to kind of drift out of his role as the coach of Real Madrid in the summer. Firstly, do you think that this is something that you personally consider likely to happen? And also, is it something that would be good for Real Madrid?
I'm not sure that it'd be good for Real Madrid. I think it's a question of how, you know, they perceive Zidane, not just in tactically, but just a personality. He does seem to be particularly stubborn. You know, they've gone this far behind Barcelona and he hasn't really been willing to change much. And I guess that sort of the modern day manager has to show some sort of adaptability to what he sees in front of him. There is an article that we've put out this morning, or I think it was late last night, which says, what about if Zidane was right all along? You know, we have to take that into account. I don't know that it's a good move to get rid of him, because Real Madrid particularly, you know, they get rid of managers just when they feel like it. I think Ancelotti, didn't he? He won the Champions League and they got rid of him not long afterwards. Benitez, with a better record than Zidane had at this point in the season, was asked to go. Yeah, who do they bring in? He's a legend at the club. I think he's shown himself to be maybe tactically slightly naive in some games, but in the dressing room, which is a very important part of football, let's be honest, you know, he's got unwavering support from all of his players. So I don't know who else you bring in that would, you know, have that kind of hold over the team. You know, I don't know, maybe they look at it on, it's a results business, and they have to bring someone in because they just want to be back where they believe they belong and not 19 points behind Barcelona. But I'm not sure the logic of just getting rid of somebody in the summer because, you know, 6 months after they've had one of the best years in their history, you know, it doesn't really work for me.
Is there a problem with Real Madrid, though, in a sense that they've never had a dynasty manager, someone who comes in and has, you know, 6, 7, 8 years or anything like that, to really embed their style and to, you know, change football in the way that, let's say, you know, Guardiola has done at Barcelona, or maybe even Wenger at Arsenal. The managers who really progress things in a number of ways, Real Madrid have never given themselves the chance of having that. And that's why I agree that Zidane doesn't have the tactical nous of some of the great managers on the planet. But is anyone going to be capable of coming in and doing that when Real Madrid are so short-term with their managers?
I just think it's football generally. You can look at a lot of clubs around Europe, and as soon as the results don't particularly go as a board would like, it's sort of like hire and fire them time. I think, you know, they can have a dynasty manager, as you put it. They, you know, Zidane can be there for years, but then they need to trust the manager. They need to believe in, you know, his project, what he wants to do, and allow him the time and the scope to be able to do that. You know, it's no good bringing in a manager, particularly one who wins so many trophies in such a short space of time, and then because he doesn't win trophies for, you know, a couple of months, and his team has a dip in form, then, well, he's not obviously not the guy for us, he has to go. I mean, it's ridiculous short-termism. You know, they can have a Guardiola-type manager, a Wenger-type manager, and the manager that can do that for them is the one who's in situ at the moment. But, you know, they just have to suck it up that they are where they are. You know, allow them to come out the other side and get back to doing what they've always done. And, you know, there's no reason why Zidane can't be there for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And within that time, I believe that they will again be one of, if not the best team in the world. But Real Madrid have got to sit back, relax, and allow him to do his work. And that's not something that, certainly in the recent past, that they've done.
I do agree. I think if they're going to have a manager that stays around and really embeds themselves in the club, then it's the one they've got, effectively. You can maybe look at Pochettino as a long-term man, but then why wouldn't he have the same problems that Zidane has to a large extent? Final point I want to make on this, then, is speaking perhaps more generally about big club management at the moment, does the manager have too much emphasis on their role? Is there too much pressure? We've seen it with Luis Enrique. You could see how it took a toll on him at Barcelona, and he eventually left just to take a sabbatical, just to take a year out, which isn't necessarily something we've seen in the past with many managers. Zidane maybe as well has it with just the sheer amount of pressure that goes on. Do you think the manager's role is kind of too big at these huge clubs now?
Well, I think it depends if you define it as a manager or a coach. I think certainly in Spain we tend to speak of them as coaches, and I think probably that's where they should be, coaching out on the pitch, doing what they've done themselves as players. And, you know, all the sort of the background noise, if we can put it like that, that can be left to other people within the club. I think in big clubs like Real Madrid, like Barcelona, you know what's, you know, what pressure you're going to be under when you're getting into the job. So I'm not sure that it's, maybe the role is too big in the sense of if there's too many facets to it, but in terms of pressure, I think you buy into that when you take it on board the first time. So, you know, I guess it's, perhaps in that respect, it could be like a short-term thing. I mean, even Guardiola was only at Barcelona for a few years, sorry, a few seasons before he said, actually, I need a year off. So, you know, maybe football in the modern game at these very, very big clubs, it's a 24-hour concern, and, you know, your health comes first, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and it'll be interesting to see how Zidane goes about the rest of the season. One wonders if the Champions League and Copa del Rey, to a small extent, will have the big impact on whether he stays or goes. Obviously, Marco in English is always the place to look at for the big news as it breaks and the analysis and everything else around it. That just leaves me to thank you, Jason, for coming on this morning and talking La Liga with me.
Always a pleasure, and I'll see you very soon.
Absolutely, and we'll be back next week for another edition of Eye on La Liga. Thank you for joining us.